We asked you before in the prior segment, you know, what do you think the Jets will do? Now I want to know, what do you think the Jets should do? And Ezzie, I'm going to leave it to you first. If you were Kevin Cheveldayoff, what would you do at the deadline?
Well, I kind of already touched on this when I was talking about what they could do. I think you keep Ron Hainsey, even though he's a pending UFA, because of the role that he plays on the team. I think you move Nikolai Antropov and basically take whatever you can get. I don't think he's going to fetch much, and he's proven that he's a wildly inconsistent forward. Mm-hmm. His best offensive days are behind him. I would try to go after a top six forward, and I would use the draft picks that he has. You know, you've still got your first rounder, you're still going to have a second rounder, but, you know, dangle a second rounder and maybe move someone to acquire scoring. But I could also say do nothing. The Jets are in a terrible division, and, you know, you look at who they have right now and the moves that they've made. You know, I liked the James Wright acquisition earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. Tangredi's offered a kind of a nice grit role on the bottom lines. I don't know if you have to do much, but it would probably be take what you can get for Antropov and keep Hainsey as far as the big UFAs go.
You know, I really think that if Cheveldayoff wants to do anything, he needs to get someone to play with Kane. I mean, and that's easier said than done, but really that's what this team needs. As I suggested earlier, this team doesn't have great secondary scoring, and even their primary scoring right now, the last few games, hasn't been there.
If Kane and Ladd and Wheeler aren't going, they have trouble.
Yeah, really big trouble. And so, and you know, Wheeler can be streaky and stuff like that, but, like, you know, you don't want to be reliant on a guy who's either in his streak or not in the streak to be providing you the bulk of your scoring. So the Jets really need to do whatever they can to acquire that sort of secondary scoring if they, you know, if it's out there and if the deal can be done for the right price, not mortgaging the future.
Yeah, I think my opinions are fairly in line with you guys. I mean, I trade Ron Hainsey and see what you can get for him. I trade the pending UFAs that they have, really, and see if you can get anything for those guys. I think most of them are replaceable without much of a drop-off. Hainsey will be a drop-off. Stewart comes back. It's not the biggest drop-off in the world. And I think the asset moving forward does provide you with some nice ability to maybe package a couple of those picks for a player, package a couple of those picks for a first rounder. I don't think the Jets should lose sight of the goal. And the ultimate goal is obviously to be a cup contender. And the ultimate goal is to acquire really as many assets as you can. And to me, if you're going to be able to make a run with, I think you can make a run without those players, really. I really do believe that. And if that's the case, take your chances. And you're not going to win the Cup this year anyways. And you can probably still beat a team like Toronto or New Jersey without the players we just talked about as pending UFAs. And you also have to take into account, you know, the possibility of acquiring a player. But if you're acquiring a player, and I think Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to stick to this, you're acquiring a player who has some controlled years in terms of, you know, he's an RFA or, you know, you have control of him, and he's not going to be a pending UFA or this year or even next year. So you don't lose sight of the overall vision of the squad. And I certainly think that there's a defenseman available that you have some can get some control of. I would look at that, and obviously the scoring. I mean, there's needs everywhere, and that's why I don't think you're going to be mortgaging anything to look at a short-term fix. But it's easier said than done, right? I mean, this isn't in a vacuum, and the Winnipeg Jets have an opportunity that they may not for the next few years to not only get into the playoffs, but be the third seed in the conference and get home ice advantage. Think about next year, guys. You know, Chicago, they're not better than Chicago. St. Louis, they're not better than St. Louis. I mean, you could argue about some of the other teams that they're going to be in the division with, but it's going to be tough sledding against those squads. They are, as much as the travel has been an issue, it really hasn't been that bad in the competition. The Southeast Division could be the worst division in the history of hockey, and I'm not trying to be funny or dramatic about it. It very well could be. This division's awful. And they have a chance to make a run, and they very possibly could get an easy draw in the first round. Easy in, you know, relative terms, as compared to the draw in the Western Conference. I mean, if you look at the Eastern Conference right now, the sixth seed is the Toronto Maple Leafs. You want to know who the sixth seed in the Western Conference is? The Detroit Red Wings. Night and day. So maybe you take your chances here. I'm not sure.
I think it's, you know, I think many fans want to see that Southeast banner hanging from the MTS Center rafters for years to come. So as new fans filter into the building and they don't realize, when were the Jets ever in the Southeast?
That's a good question.